Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness.
The Bible contains remarkable stories of miracles and divine interventions. Moses parted the sea. Peter healed a man lame from his mother's womb. Jesus drove demons out of people and raised others from the dead. But are these types of events still happening today?
We too have a beam of divine light and guidance that God has put within the heart of every man. And it's one of the greatest proofs that there is a God.
More amazing supernatural things are happening than we realize.
This is Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. Divine Intervention was created and produced with the purpose of encouraging believers, spiritual seekers, and skeptics alike that Jesus is alive and is still performing miracles and working in the world today.
I believe in miracles.
Here's your host, Daniel Fazina.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Divine Intervention Radio. I am your host, Daniel Fazina. So awesome to be with you today, and I hope you are doing well, and that you are encouraged, and that you know that God loves you. And if you don't know that, well, I'm hoping that today's episode will be an example of how God intervenes in our life and how He's personal, and I hope it'll encourage you to seek out your own relationship with the Lord. We have an awesome show lined up for you today with a good friend of mine, Denise Letierzo Block, and her husband, Gary Block. And she's going to be sharing her amazing story of her miraculous recovery from a subdural hematoma, which is basically bleeding on the brain. She had quite a fall and quite an ordeal with brain surgery and everything else, where doctors were telling her she might not survive, much less recover. So we'll get to Denise and Gary in a minute. But for now, I'd like to remind you that if you miss any of the shows, you can check out the archives. It's always available at divineinterventionradio.com, divineinterventionradio.com. And you can connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/divineinterventionradio. And you can also connect with me on Twitter, danielfazina1 at twitter.com. Again, at danielfazina, numeral 1. Friend, today's guests are living examples of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." As I mentioned, I have the privilege of speaking with Denise and Gary Block. Denise's story is actually featured in my new book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. Which, by the way, if you haven't gotten your copy yet, I highly encourage you to go to my website. There's a link there. You can purchase a copy. If you're a fan of this show and you like the testimonies we feature here, I think you're really going to love this book, because it has 50 amazing, powerful, jaw-dropping, praise God out loud kind of stories. And it contains everything from answered prayers, conversion experiences, miraculous healings, all sorts of things. Ways that Jesus and God have intervened in people's lives. If you are a believer, it's really going to bolster your faith and take it to another level. If you're a skeptic, it's really going to challenge you. I did my best to include a lot of medical documentation in the case of miraculous healings, so you have the opportunity, if you're interested, to read actual medical reports, doctors' reports from places like Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. You can also look at x-rays and PET scans, and it'll show that these are amazing true stories from real people who've had miraculous interventions in their life. Not only is there medical documentation, but there's also photographs and contact information for each person in the book. There's 50 different people featured, and you can actually write to these people and engage in conversations with them, and maybe do some follow-up and hopefully develop some awesome conversation and enriching relationships. I encourage you to get a few copies, give them to your friends and family. This is a great witnessing tool for people who may not know the Lord, but they're open. People love stories, they respond to stories, and I think this book is really going to open people's minds to the possibility that there may be more to life than what we experience with our five senses. God just might be real. And in reading those true testimonies, I hope and pray that people will be led to seek their own relationship with the Lord and ask questions. Say, hey, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. I want to know. I'm open. Meet me where I am. I know if you pray that prayer, God will answer you. So again, check out the book Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. And as I mentioned, today's guest, Denise Letierzo-Block, her story is actually featured in the book. So her story is called Stepping Out in Faith. And it's my pleasure to welcome Denise Letierzo-Block and her husband, Gary Block, right now on Divine Intervention. Denise and Gary, welcome to Divine Intervention. Thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, no problem. Very excited to finally speak to you. You know, Denise and I go back several years, and she is an awesome accountant, by the way. She takes care of me every year, and I'm so thankful for that. Her website is LetierzoCPA.com if you want to check her out there and if you need any accounting services. But the reason I'm inviting her and her husband on is because she had an amazing miracle that had to do with a subdural hematoma. She's going to tell that story. But before we get to that, Denise and Gary, why don't you tell us a little bit about your spiritual background, you know, growing up, how you were raised, and maybe how you came to know the Lord. Denise, if you want to start, and then we'll go with Gary.
It's funny, Gary and I met, we were in Catholic school together.
Okay.
We were both raised as Catholics. And we kind of just, after we got out of school, we left Catholic school in eighth grade. We only went to Catholic grammar school. Gary went one way, I went another way, and we went to public high schools, and we didn't see each other again for many years. But during that time, the high school time, with my friends, I would say I was an atheist. I wasn't sure God was there. Then at one point, I had gone a couple of times to a charismatic church, and mm-hmm. there, I think I kind of was like, well, you know, maybe God is there. But in college, I had got involved with the Way International.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cult, but it was huge. It was humongous. It's a shell of its former self today, but it was huge.
Okay.
And, you know, it's how I learned about Jesus Christ. So I can't say it was a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot of scripture. It was a scriptural teaching ministry, although their teachings were, you know, a lot of times wrong. They preached that there were four crucified with Christ, not two. Jesus Christ was not God. Several things that are controversial. So
okay. And how did you eventually come to the realization that Jesus was God in the flesh?
Recently, actually. It was just going to, I guess, churches where that's where it was preached. You
okay.
know, it was kind of like nobody gave me a debriefing after I left the Way. I went to a church, and I wasn't sure kind of what was what, but I went, and I knew God would talk to me, you know, would let me know when it was time that he thought I needed to know.
Okay. Very interesting. And Gary, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, like Denise said before, we were raised as Catholics. I went to 8 years of Catholic school.
Okay.
It's hard to say in the 60s, with Catholicism, it's not, we never really studied out of a Bible, so to say. It was more textbooks. And then after leaving there and really stopped going to church until I met Denise, once we had our daughter, we went to a Lutheran church for almost 20 years.
Over 20, yeah.
Right, yeah, that's where I met you guys.
You know, all the teachings were based out of the Bible, so I probably learned more there naturally than did in grammar school.
Right. Now, when I met you guys, it was actually not too long after I was sick with cancer back in 2002, and my father had told me that you had gone through your own pretty traumatic and trying ordeal that eventually led to an awesome testimony. And I'm proud to say that Denise's story is featured in my new book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. And in that, you can read about how she suffered a subdural hematoma. And that's not even the whole part of the story, of the testimony, because there's a lot more to it than that. The title of the story is called Stepping Out in Faith, and we'll hear that, you know, what exactly happened and why it was such an amazing step of faith for her. So guys, take us to that fateful day. It was, I believe, February of 2002. What happened that day?
Gary was heading out to Shelter Island to work, and I was getting ready to take Melanie, our daughter, to our favorite place in Bellport, Kitchen and Coffee, for breakfast.
Nice.
Yeah, coming down the stairs, and our little beagle was on the stairs, as she often did. She slept there. And we would usually just yell, get down, and she'd run down. Well, this time I yelled, get down. She was slow, I was fast, and we both went down together.
Oh, boy. And you fell down not many steps, probably like five or six.
Yeah.
Okay. And what happened from there?
I'm not sure, but the next thing I knew, my head was exploding. I don't know if I was out or what. I guess I was. I came to, my head was literally exploding, and I knew something was really, really wrong.
Okay. You weren't alone in the house, right?
No, Melanie was in the house, and I think I went and I found her.
Okay.
And I told her to go across the street and get the neighbor, who actually was a friend of ours from Grace Lutheran Church. And
okay.
She went and got her, and she came over, and she had had some experience with head injuries, and she asked me what happened, and I didn't know what happened. And then she called for an ambulance, and then I asked her again what happened. She said I kept asking her what happened because I couldn't remember what she said. And then the ambulance came and got me. And I remember the ambulance attendant said, if you feel like you're going to throw up, let me know. And I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, my head is exploding. I'm not going to throw up. And like seconds after that, I started throwing up, which lasted for a good 7 or 8 days.
My goodness, 7 or 8 days.
7 or 8 days, yeah.
That's a long time. So I guess they loaded you up into the ambulance, right?
Or
And they took you to the hospital.
Yeah.
And now, at this point, someone had called you, Gary, right?
Yes. Yes. I was, like they said, almost on Shelter Island and basically got to the hospital before the ambulance did.
Okay. And what happened once you got to the hospital? What were they saying? I'm sure they had to do a lot of tests.
They put her on the outside ramp there and kind of met her in the ambulance as they were taking her out of the ambulance.
Okay. And what did the doctors say? I mean, obviously they did tests on her and stuff.
Her eyes had already become basically blackened on the undersides of the eyes. I knew there was something. Well, hopefully it was only, you know, maybe a concussion, but I kind of knew there was something more there than that. Needed to do an MRI,
CAT scan
of the brain.
And I remember Denise telling me when they came in to give you the results, it was not a very nice way they did it, right?
Oh, no.
What happened?
Well, what was surprising was Denise, she knew where she was. She had good long-term memory. So it was a shock when the doctor pronounced, I have very bad news.
Simple
terms.
He just kept wringing his hands and saying, I have terrible news.
Very
I have
bad
very
news.
Bad news. He was very dramatic about it, which kind of shocked us.
Not a very good bedside manner, I guess, huh?
No.
And what was the prognosis?
I was bleeding on the brain.
Okay.
I don't know if he used that simple term or subdural hematoma. He might have said subdural hematoma, not knowing what that was, and then clarifying the meaning of that, bleeding on the brain.
So for anyone who's not familiar with that, what exactly does that mean?
The dura is the protective covering over the brain. It's
okay.
The protective covering of skin over the brain. Sub is under that. So a vessel had broken, and the bleed was under the protective covering, pooling up on the brain and causing the brain to become concave.
Between the actual brain matter and the skull.
Okay. So this is a very serious condition.
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay. Now, when you heard that diagnosis, Gary, what went through your mind? Did he explain?
Just felt helpless. It's never fun to go to the hospital in an emergency manner. But you have a hierarchy of what you're willing to accept, any kind of diagnosis, whether it's limbs, even certain things internally can be readily correctable. Even the heart operations today are fairly routine. But when they mention a problem with your brain, that's the last thing in the list that you're willing to be diagnosed with.
Mm-hmm. And did they at that point explain what they had to do as far as trying to repair it?
Yeah, emergency surgery had to be done now. That's what they proceeded to do. Now, meanwhile, at this point, we're only in the kind of the standard emergency room. At that point, then, Denise was elevated to the acute ward, which is a priority emergency room.
So they operated on her the same day of the accident?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They had come with papers for us to sign, you know, the usual alleviating them of responsibility if you die or anything like that. So we didn't want to sign it. And Gary was like, well, can I just take her home? They're like, sure, you can take her home. So Gary's like, well, what's what's going to happen if I take her home? They go, well, she'll probably be dead within a few hours.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so we signed the papers.
Yeah. Okay. So, now, Denise, you had told me that before the operation, they put you in a room and they let your family and your friends come in to talk to you, presumably, you know, in case they never see you again, right?
Yeah. Yep. But prior to that, two surgeons and the anesthesiologist came in to talk with us. And the surgeon, he was very sweet. He said, I have to tell you this. He said, it's my job to tell you this. He said, I don't want to tell you this, but I have to tell you this. He said, what we're about to do to you can cause you to become paralyzed or brain damaged or both. And the other side is that is the likelihood that you will die.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you heard
Gary,
that...
I looked at Gary. He just had his head in his arms, and I was just like, oh my God, I never saw him like that, you know?
Gary, what was going through your mind when the doctor said that?
Yeah, I mean, there's also a very highly successful rate of this surgery, but you have a tendency to always think of, well, I do, the negative aspect, and I just kept basically praying continuously until he came out of the operation.
Sure. The doctors...
I mean, you basically have no choice.
Yeah.
Left untreated.
Yep. And the doctors, they have to tell you the worst-case scenario, just in case. You know, they have to cover themselves, too. Now, Denise, at this point, I remember you telling me you were not only had tremendous pain, but you were very, very scared. And at the time when they put you in that room and all the people came in, you did have someone pray for you, and something dramatic happened there. Tell us about that.
Well, everyone was standing around, our friends, my family, my mom, my daughter. Bunch of our friends had come down. I can't remember how everybody heard, but everybody was at the hospital. And Gary Davis, he said, I'm going to pray now. And he prayed. Then everybody left. And then I was left alone. And that's when I figured I better get with my Creator.
And Gary Davis was a friend of yours from church?
Yeah, friend of ours from church. Yeah.
When he prayed over you, I remember you telling me you had a sense of peace that you didn't have before.
It was when I was left alone.
Okay.
That after everybody left, and I decided that I really needed to get with God. And I just asked him to spare my life. I just said, listen, I know you're there, and I want to go on. I want to raise my daughter, and, you know, I want to see her get married, and I want to go home with my husband. And that's when it's really emotional for me.
Sure. Take your time.
I felt like I was in the presence of God. And you don't know what that feels like until you are.
Mm-hmm.
I just had this peace, this unbelievable feeling of peace. It wasn't like I felt like I was going to live or I was going to die. It was just that at that point, I was with God and it didn't matter.
Mm.
It just wasn't an issue. I don't know if you could understand that. It's just...
Yeah, I've been there myself.
Okay.
I remember, you know, being in my hospital bed when I was dying of cancer, you know, and being in that total place of surrender to God. And,
that's it.
Yeah, and having that peace that Jesus talks about, the peace that the world can't give and the world can't take away.
Yep, yeah. That was it.
So...
But you said the word, surrender.
Mm-hmm.
When there's absolutely nothing you can do... That's when you get that, I guess. That's when you're able to let it go, you know? It's like, I can't do anything here. You've got to do it all.
Mm.
But that peace, oh.
I love that. And that's what we need to do, I think, when we're struggling with things. You know, when I first got my cancer diagnosis, I was trying to figure everything out and trying to do what I could do. And you can do that to a point, but you can also drive yourself crazy trying to do that and trying to figure everything out. And when you come to that place of surrender and just trusting in the Lord, just like Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your steps.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need to do that. And when we give it up to Him, He can take over. And it's actually a very freeing feeling to, you know, let it go and know that you don't have to control everything. You're not in control, so don't try.
Yeah, it was. It was absolutely. It was that perfect peace.
Mm.
You're right, the peace that surpasses all understanding.
It's one thing to read about it in the scriptures, but to experience
it's quite another to feel it. And
yeah.
I've never felt it before or since.
Wow. It's amazing how God's grace will be extended to us when we need it the most.
Need it.
Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are speaking with Gary Block and Denise Letirzo Block. And they're telling us the story of how Denise suffered a head trauma that resulted in a subdural hematoma. Doctors were saying it could very well kill her, and they had to do emergency brain surgery. So, Denise, you went in for this brain surgery, and you had a lot of pain, but when you went in, you had no fear, is that right?
No fear. In fact, the surgeon told Gary, I didn't remember this, but he said that I was joking with them, telling them to lighten up. It was only brain surgery.
Not like it's rocket science, just brain surgery.
What started that was, what Denise was more fearful of is when the doctor explained to her that he had to shave basically a third of her hair off the side of her head.
Oh, for a beautiful woman like Denise, that must have been tragic.
I cried. I cried. That was the first time I cried.
Oh, wow.
That really upset her.
I'm sure. Well, obviously, she survived the surgery because you guys are both here talking to us now. And we're going to get the rest of this gripping story and how the Lord not only let you live through the surgery, but how he did another amazing miracle with your recovery on the other side of the break. So stay with us. We'll be right back with more of Denise Letirzo Block and Gary Block right here on Divine Intervention. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more from Daniel Fazina and Divine Intervention right after this. I believe in miracles.
Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124.
Hi, this is Cha-Cha from The Sopranos and the unofficial mayor of Little Italy, and you're listening to Divine Intervention with Daniel Fazina.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina of Divine Intervention Radio. The Bible contains some incredible stories of miracles and divine interventions. Jesus calmed a raging storm, healed paralytics, and even raised the dead. But are these types of events still happening today? The answer to this question, as you will see from reading my book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, is an emphatic yes. Contained within the book is a collection of amazing true stories that attest to this fact. You will read the astonishing firsthand accounts of people who have been healed of paralysis, terminal cancer, and tumors through prayer. You will see the love of God powerfully transform the life of an Islamic terrorist. You will witness the liberation of the demon-possessed, the resurrection of the dead, and much more. Prepare to be awed and inspired as you experience divine intervention. More information about Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, can be found at www.divineinterventionradio.com or by calling 800-247-4784. That's 1-800-247-4784. Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Letirzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Letirzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years, offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Letirzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334. First Steps to Success with ABC's secret millionaire, Danny Johnson, gives you the tools to remap your internal beliefs about yourself, about your money, and about others. You'll learn a simple but powerful system to create success in any environment, as well as business building, leadership, sales, and marketing skills to create the lifestyle most only dream about.
Prior to getting started with Danny, I was a civil engineer working paycheck to paycheck, no retirement, no savings. Had a lot of dreams and goals and couldn't figure out how I was going to get to those. Started plugging into Danny, started my own engineering business, and this year we'll do about $600,000 in revenue. I paid off $50,000 in debt in 2.5 years. More than the money, a great relationship with my wife and my kids. Just amazing 2.5 years.
First Steps to Success with Danny Johnson is about becoming the leader you were called to be. More information about Danny Johnson and First Steps to Success can be found at DannyJohnson.com or by calling 866-760-8255. Divine Intervention is supported by the Other Perspective Media recording artist, poet Billy Lamont. The Other Perspective 777, a secret art sensory experience. More information about poet Billy Lamont's CDs, books, and Other Perspective Media can be found at www.billylamont.com. That's www.billylamont.com.
Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo, and you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio with Daniel Fazina.
Divine Intervention is supported by Grease Car Vegetable Fuel Systems. Grease Car Vegetable Fuel Systems is the leading manufacturer of vegetable oil conversion kits for diesel vehicles. With Grease Car kits, your diesel vehicle can run on waste vegetable oil, saving money while recycling and helping to preserve the environment. Kits are available for diesel-powered cars, light-duty and heavy-duty trucks. More information can be found on the web at www.greasecar.com or by calling 413-534-0013.
Have you heard the story about the terrifying dragon created by God?
Dragons, just the word conjures up all these images.
They look like big reptiles with long tails with scales, sharp teeth, claws.
They're carnivorous and they're basically going to gnaw your face off.
Could actually be stories about what we today call dinosaurs.
Marco Polo is writing about dragons. Alexander the Great is talking about his giant lizard.
How did the people who carved that stone 800 years ago have carved a stegosaur?
Where in the world did all those images come from?
Do you believe in dragons or dinosaurs?
Try to explain away human encounters with creatures which we would call dragons.
Creation or evolution?
Clearly, science has shown this dinosaur died out very recently.
This is one of the greatest paleontological discoveries ever.
Man or God?
Confirms the Bible's history that dinosaurs and people lived at the same time.
Cloud 10 Pictures proudly presents Dragons or Dinosaurs, DVD and book. Ask for it at fine Christian retailers everywhere.
Hi, this is Jay Jack, the lead singer for Apologetics, that Christian parody band, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio with our good friend Daniel Fazina.
I looked up this morning with the Son of God. It turned out he knew me and called my name. You're lost, he said, but I can heal your soul. And now my eyes see a different way.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. If you're just joining us, we are visiting with our special guests, Gary Block and Denise Letierzo Block, and they're sharing the gripping story of how Denise suffered a head trauma, which resulted in a subdural hematoma, which is bleeding on the brain, and she had to go in for emergency brain surgery. Welcome back, Gary and Denise.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
So, Denise, you went in for this surgery, and you explained that before you went in, someone, a friend of yours, prayed for you, and you experienced God's peace. So you went in to the surgery with pain, but no fear. And, you know, the doctors were telling you could very well be dead from this condition and the surgery, and you miraculously did survive. So now coming out of this, tell us about your recovery and what that was like.
Well, the recovery was really, it was months of recovery, just to get the brain swelling down.
Mm.
After something like that, the brain swells and it causes tremendous, tremendous pain. So you're in as much pain afterward as you were before the surgery.
Okay.
But they give you, you know, a lot of meds. And well, I was in the hospital for, I guess it was about 10 days. And I remember I was throwing up. I think after that, though, it might have been from the medications. I was on morphine, a lot of morphine. So I'm not really sure. I didn't eat for almost 8 days.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah,
a lot.
They can't feed you if you're, you know, nauseous all the time.
Right. No kidding.
But I was in the ICU 8 of the 10 days.
Okay.
And I got really good care, but it was kind of a blur because I was on all this medication, so they send me home with a lot of medication. So
sure.
I'm on this medication and on it. And one night I slept through the time I was supposed to take it, and I woke up screaming, poor Gary, because I didn't take it on time. The pain was so intense that I was just screaming from it.
Hmm.
So he would wake me up every night after that to give me my pain meds so that didn't happen again. He was so good.
Wow.
Took good care of me. My mom moved in.
Right. I remember you telling me you had a lot of people from the church coming and cooking and preparing meals, things like that.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks I had people bringing food into the house.
That's awesome.
It was really such an expression of love.
Yeah.
Grace Lutheran had a program called Angel Care for people in these situations.
Mm-hmm. And Angel Care is just to take care of people who are recovering from things?
It's within the church, yes.
Yeah, just to bring them a meal.
That's awesome.
To take that pressure off of them.
Right.
My mom was here. She could easily have cooked, but they insisted.
No, that's a great thing when you see the love of God through the community of the believers. And
it was amazing.
Yeah. I experienced that myself, too. When I was sick with cancer, I had a lot of people calling and coming by to visit and bringing food and things like that, and it was just
helps.
Amazing.
It helps your outlook.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Love and, you know, good thing.
Yeah. So, I guess it was maybe a month or so after you were out, you went to a birthday party.
Yeah.
And it was there that you realized that some things were a little different about yourself. Tell us about that. What did you notice?
Okay, so there was a birthday party at a coffee house. And we went. It was about, just a little over a month after the accident. And it was the first time I'd gone out. And at the coffee house, I saw my pastor, and he asked me to sit down and play a game of chess with him.
Okay.
My dad had taught us to play chess when we were little kids, so I sat down with confidence because I knew he was a good chess player. I played it before.
Okay.
And very soon I realized something was really wrong. I couldn't figure out my moves. I was lost. I didn't know what was going on, really. I couldn't figure anything out.
Okay.
And he was very gracious about it. He's like, oh, you know, you're having a bad night. Well, we'll catch this again some other time. But I knew something was really wrong.
Okay. And you went back to your brain surgeon, right? Your
brain surgeon, yeah. It was like a couple of days later, and I told him about it. I'm like, what's up with that? And he said, and I really love the guy, but this, I was just so angry with him after he said this. He goes, you're not the same person you were a month ago, before the accident. And I just it took my breath away, you know?
Mm.
Remember after that, Gary and I went to somewhere to eat, and I was just crying into my food, because I didn't know exactly what that would mean.
Okay, when you started to notice other things, like you were having trouble speaking and saying different words.
All during the recovery I had trouble. But Gary was so cute. He used to say my words, finish my sentences. It's like he knew what I was thinking.
Aw.
He was like almost like an interpreter. Because I would get hung up on a word. Like if the word was spoon, I could draw a spoon, I could spell spoon, but I couldn't say the word spoon.
Hmm, okay, yeah, it just wouldn't come out of your mouth.
No.
Wow.
No.
And
then, of course, once my headache started to feel better, you know, the pain, I wanted to read.
Sure.
Which we're a family of readers. We've got a library here. We read. That's what we do. And I picked up a book, and I couldn't read.
So
I could see the words. I could say the words, but I couldn't make the words make sense. I couldn't understand what they meant.
Wow.
Sentence. It was very bizarre. It's very difficult to describe.
Okay.
I could read the words out loud, but not know what it meant and not understand.
So there's some disconnect in your brain.
Yeah, obviously. Something was misfiring.
And now you went to cognitive rehab, right,
mm-hmm.
to try and remedy this? And what happened with that?
It was pretty useless. I mean, what cognitive rehab does... What this particular one did that our insurance would pay for, it was a lot of flashcards and telling you they're going to teach you how to cope with your limitations.
Hmm.
I didn't want to cope with limitations. I didn't want to hear about limitations, so I stopped going.
Okay. And, I mean, what did your brain surgeons say about this? Like, did they say, oh, you're going to recover fully or you're not going
to... Well, I'd gone to a number of neurologists after this. The brain surgeon, he was done, and I had to speak with neurologists. And when I spoke to the neuropsych about this, he's like, you know, you're probably not going to read.
Like, ever?
Ever.
Oh, my gosh. What did you think when he said that?
I'm like, well, this is wrong. And I went back almost like a year later. And he goes, oh, no, there's no spontaneous recovery after a year. He says, you're just not going to read.
Wow. Now, you didn't read for several years.
Almost 2 years, yeah.
Almost 2 years. But the Lord did a miracle. And, you know, I want to give him the credit, but also you took a step of faith that was really...
I'm sure that was led by God because I can't read and does that, you know?
Right, I know. So now I want you to tell everyone... Now, you're a woman who cannot read, but you love books.
Yes.
And you stepped out in faith, and you did something pretty cool. Tell us what you did.
I started a book club.
A book club.
With Christian women, yeah.
Okay. So you can't read, and you're going to do a book club.
Mm-hmm.
And
started it with a book I had read, because one thing about the accident is everything I knew prior to the accident remained intact.
Okay.
Everything I knew, all my education, my learning, all these kinds of things. So I chose a book I had read and enjoyed before the accident.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the book club, and I pretty much remembered it, and it was great. And then I allowed one of the girls to choose the next book, and it wasn't a book I knew. And she chose it.
Okay.
And I bought the book, and I bought the book on tape. And another friend would come over and read to me. Then okay. I was praying. I mean, I'm like, God, you know, you let me live, but I don't want to live if I can't read. So I mean, it was a kind of a diminished life, and I knew that's sure. not what he had planned for me. If he let me live, I was not going to live a diminished life.
No. So you were praying for God to restore this.
Short novel. Yeah, it was okay. a very short novel about Amelia Earhart. And someone would read it to me, and then I would read it, and then I would listen to it on tape.
When you said you would read it, were you understanding it, or you
I
just...
I would read the words.
Okay.
Someone had read it to me, which I understood.
Okay.
I understood them because they told me. I would read the words, I would listen to it on tape, and then I would go back and read it again with the tape.
Okay. So, you're trying to... have your brain make the connections, I guess, between the words and the meanings.
Oh, yeah. I was okay. going to make this happen one way or another.
Okay.
I knew that God did not plan for me to live and not read.
So...
It's my job, too, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're an accountant. So, what happened now? You started following along with the book on tape and reading, and...
And we had our next discussion.
Okay.
And I remembered stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I was able to participate. To not the degree I would have liked to, but I participated. I remembered some things from the book. I remembered some things I had read, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not only I would, like, listen to the book, a passage from the book, then I would go back and I would actually be able to read it. After I had it read to me, I listened to it on tape, then I would read it. Then I would pick up the book later and read that passage.
And so eventually your ability to read and understand came back.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
It was a miracle.
Yeah. How long did it take?
It took not as long as you would think.
Okay.
After that first book, I think after the Amelia Earhart book, I just picked up books and started reading.
That's awesome. And this is about almost 2 years after the accident?
Yeah. And they told me after 1 year there's no spontaneous recovery. So.
Well, we serve a God of miracles.
Amen.
A God of the miraculous, a God of the impossible. That is awesome. So I love the fact that you just took a step of faith and you said, you know what, even though I can't read, I'm going to start a book discussion group with Christian women. I just love that. And I think God honored your faith, obviously. And you were praying the whole time for him to restore your ability
Absolutely.
To read. And it obviously came back. Now, Gary, what was your perspective on this as she was doing this?
You get through the corrective necessary surgery and, you know, you think, okay, this is a 100% correction of her injury, and it took a month or two after the medication wearing off to realize there was something that wasn't 100% correct in from the damage that she had evidently suffered.
Right. So, you know, going into this and understanding that she may not ever read again or she may have brain damage, I mean, what was your reaction to that?
Yeah, it's sad because Denise is a, and had been, a prolific reader, and it's a big part of her life, and, you know, that was hard, very hard.
Okay. Denise, you actually, you know, you went back to your neurosurgeon for follow-ups and stuff, and he was kind of surprised that you not only recovered your ability to read, but you actually went back to work. They didn't think that would even happen, did they?
No. In fact, this was a new neurologist. It was a friend of Gary's. Remember Dr. Henry Moretta?
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking through my chart, and I mentioned something about at work, and he looked at me and he said, "You work?" Well, they were, a lot of the doctors were like, trying to encourage me to go on Social Security disability.
Okay.
And I just, no, that wasn't for me.
So how long after the accident did you actually go back to work full time?
Well, the accident happened during the tax season, which is not a convenient time.
Right, that was February of 2002.
Yeah, and Gary and I think Diane or Melanie, somebody, they were very good about canceling my appointments because I had appointments set up for the whole month.
Sure, of course.
They missed one, and somebody showed up at the door because I do appointments from my home.
Okay.
The evenings. Somebody showed up. And I, at this time, I could only sit up for like 20 minutes at a time, half an hour like that. I got up, and I did their tax return.
Wow. So
yeah.
That was, a month or two after the accident?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you went back to work?
About a month. I went back to work in April.
The same year?
Yeah. The accident was in February.
That is amazing. Wow.
Well, we had payroll taxes due. We had April 15th coming up. So I went back.
That is amazing. Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we're speaking with our special guests, Gary Block and Denise Letirzo Block, who recovered from a subdural hematoma where the doctors weren't even sure she would survive. They thought she might be brain damaged, didn't think she'd ever read again or be able to go back to work. And you know what? God did an amazing recovery with her, and she was able to go back to work, as you just heard, only a month or two after the surgery. That is amazing. Now I want to ask you about going through this. How did this affect your life and your perspective and your relationship with God, going through such a traumatic experience like this and coming through it on the other side?
Well, it definitely made me see God differently.
Okay. How so?
Well, you know, before you could say, yeah, God loves me, yeah, God loves me, yeah, God loves me. But I felt God love me. When I had that peace, I knew that he was there and that he cared about me.
Mm.
Enough to give me what I needed when I needed it, you know?
So it was more personal.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
He cared about me, Denise.
That's awesome.
It was. It really was.
And Gary, how about you? What's your perspective on this?
He answered my prayers. It's as simple as that. I mean, prayed for hours and hours and hours prior to, during, and after the surgery. And, you know, you pray for medical healing and recovery thereafter, and he came through. He didn't let us down.
That's awesome.
Didn't let me down, didn't let Denise down, our family.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, a lot of people were witnesses to this miraculous recovery. How has it affected people that you know, going through this and coming out healthy on the other side?
Well, we were fortunate, being members of Grace Lutheran, that some of those initial people during the hospital, prior to the operation and through the recovery, were just incredible Christians and had a faith that clearly was exemplified in their prayers and the recovery. We were surrounded by great people and were powerful prayers.
Mm-hmm.
They were all in the right place at the right time. From the neighbor across the street who initially came with our daughter and to friends of ours in praying in the hospital.
Yeah, and Diane started praying the minute she walked in the door. So
Diane was your neighbor from across the street?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. So that's amazing. I love it when God brings all the right elements together and just works things out for our good. The Bible says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and those who are the called according to his purpose. And it's obviously he did that for you. And I'm so excited to have your testimony featured in my new book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. Friend, if you get a copy of that book, look for the story entitled Stepping Out in Faith. That's Denise Letierzo Block. And, you know, it goes through the whole thing about the subdural hematoma, the recovery, her stepping out in faith and actually starting a book discussion group for Christian women, even though she couldn't read, and God honoring her faith in taking that step and really healing her and helping her to recover. And incidentally, if you need someone to do your taxes, you need a great accountant, I would highly recommend Denise. Her website is LotierzoCPA.com. That's LotierzoCPA.com. LotierzoCPA.com. Definitely look her up. It doesn't matter what state of the union you're in, she can help you. Denise, I want to ask you, if there's someone listening right now who maybe is struggling with a traumatic event, maybe they've had an injury, maybe they're dealing with paralysis or just some difficult situation in their life, where maybe they feel like they're between a rock and a hard place, what would be your advice to those people?
Well, we serve a big God. And his plans for us, we can't even imagine. His word tells us that, you know, that he has plans for us. Just, you need to have the faith. You need to grab onto his coattails and not let go.
Mm.
You know, it was almost 2 years, but I just knew somewhere in the back of my mind that I would read again. I knew that.
Mm.
And I just kept the faith.
Right.
And that's what I would recommend to anybody. You know, God is seldom early, but never late.
I love that. He shows up right on time.
Right on time, exactly. So it was the right time for me.
Right. When you shared your testimony with me for my book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, what were you hoping that the reader would take away from your story?
Just that God gives you what you need when you need it.
Mm.
I needed that peace because I was a wreck. He was there. He let me know he was there. And I think that's what I want people to know.
Awesome.
He's there. And if you need to know he's there, he'll let you know he's there.
Awesome. And Gary, do you have anything to say to anyone who's listening who have heard your testimony? Maybe they're struggling with doubts about God or, you know, if he really is listening to them or if he cares about them.
Yeah, I mean, you have to put your trust in him. As much as we were blessed with an incredible surgeon on that day, the follow-up visits even a year later by trusted medical professionals basically told us, from what we've seen, you know, the damage is there, and it's kind of irreversible. So don't expect any changes. And there were. I mean, and not to discredit the doctors we had, but somehow through prayer and faith and Denise's hard work, not willing to accept her limitations, it reversed itself. She was able to get through that.
That's awesome. Now, Gary and Denise, I want to ask you, for you personally, what has this experience done for your own faith?
Well, it obviously made it so much stronger because we went through this together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it made us stronger as a couple, and it made our faith stronger, and it was a powerful witness to our daughter, who was only, what, maybe 14 at the time?
2002, yeah, 14.
Yeah, 14.
Wow.
And powerful witness to my mom, who stayed with us for the 3 months of my recovery. You know, it was quite a witness. And I think to everybody at church.
I can definitely relate to that, you know, knowing all the people that witnessed, you know, what I went through going through cancer. Yeah, I realized that it wasn't really about me. Me getting cancer was so much bigger than me and affected so many people.
Right.
And I get a sense that you kind of had the same feeling.
Yeah.
It was a great church family. If we had a dozen people in ICU, which is, you know, 11 more than that is supposed to be there, but
11
the
people.
Nurses had to keep kicking them out.
Oh, they were visiting you in ICU?
Yes. Yeah. We couldn't keep them out.
That's a good problem to have.
And everybody was an aunt and a cousin, and it just.
This is a funny story. Barbara Davis had come in, and my mom was sitting there. I had introduced Barbara to my mother, and the nurse said, "And you're just meeting her mother now?"
There's supposed to be two aunts, but she had just introduced them to each other.
Oh, that's funny.
A couple of minutes before.
Wow. Awesome. Well, guys, I want to thank you so much for sharing your testimony on Divine Intervention. I guess if there's anything else you want to add, you know, you can feel free to add that right now.
I just want to say that the power of God is so much more than we think it is, and God is so much bigger than we give him credit for.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. I want to thank you so much. Again, our special guests have been Gary Block and Denise Letierzo Block, sharing about how Denise recovered from subdural hematoma when doctors didn't think she would survive, and if she did, they thought she would be brain damaged for the rest of her life. But obviously, Denise took a step of faith, and God did an amazing miracle of recovery for her. Again, her website is letierzocpa.com, LOTIERZOCPA.com. If you have need of accounting services, I highly recommend you give Denise a call. Check out her website again, letierzocpa.com. She'll take good care of you, no matter what state of the union you are in. So, Gary and Denise, thank you so much again. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much, Dan.
All right. God bless. That about does it for this episode of Divine Intervention. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. Tune in next time when we have another exciting episode of Divine Intervention Radio. Take care and God bless.
You've been listening to Divine Intervention with your host, Daniel Fazina. You can email Daniel at divineintervention@mail.com. That's divineintervention@mail.com. All programs of Divine Intervention are available online at divineinterventionradio.com. That's divineinterventionradio.com. Join us next time here on Divine Intervention. I believe in miracles.
Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina of Divine Intervention Radio. The Bible contains some incredible stories of miracles and divine interventions. Jesus calmed a raging storm, healed paralytics, and even raised the dead. But are these types of events still happening today? The answer to this question, as you will see from reading my book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, is an emphatic yes. Contained within the book is a collection of amazing true stories that attest to this fact. You will read the astonishing firsthand accounts of people who have been healed of paralysis, terminal cancer, and tumors through prayer. You will see the love of God powerfully transform the life of an Islamic terrorist. You will witness the liberation of the demon-possessed, the resurrection of the dead, and much more. Prepare to be awed and inspired as you experience divine intervention. More information about Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, can be found at www.divineinterventionradio.com or by calling 800-247-4777. That's 1-800-247-4784. Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years, offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334. First Steps to Success with ABC's secret millionaire Danny Johnson gives you the tools to remap your internal beliefs about yourself, about your money, and about others. You'll learn a simple but powerful system to create success in any environment, as well as business building, leadership, sales, and marketing skills to create the lifestyle most only dream about. First Steps to Success with Danny Johnson. More information can be found at DannyJohnson.com or phone 866-760-8255.